With me now in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3. Reading together the first 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry or tillage, or you are the harvest. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for it shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Please bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, we come now with thy word open, and we pray that we will know the Holy Spirit's power, understanding. Give us light upon this page. Lord, I know that some things in the Scripture are harder to understand than others, and perhaps on the surface this would not be too difficult to get the grasp and meaning. But where we need help, Lord, is not just the understanding, but we certainly need help in the application of this to our lives. We need help, Lord, to put these things into practice. We need to not only understand, we are to obey. Lord, give us such an obedient heart. Give us such a willing mind. Now, Lord, take away every distraction of the devil from our service. We know he has a plan for this meeting. Perhaps already he's been at work. Already been at work putting other thoughts into people's minds, Lord. Taking their attention away from holy things. Well, please, Lord, give us victory this morning. And help us to understand the things that are written for our learning, so that we might be educated and built up in our most holy faith. Lord, there may well be some here today who are not saved, either in this meeting or listening online. Please, Father, speak to their hearts and bring them to a living knowledge of Christ Jesus in their heart. These things we ask in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Verse number 11, please. Let me draw your attention to this morning from this chapter. That is going to be my text today. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Well, on your way into the service this morning, you could not have missed the cages and the gates that are around starting our construction at the front of the church, where we are building a new access for those to get out of the vehicles easier. Cars are going to be able to drive closer to the front door to allow those who have need to get out easier. And also there's going to be a canopy that is overhead for the protection from the elements and the weather. So what you have seen outside as you walked in are four concrete footings. If you missed them, well, we have a different problem to think about this morning. You could not have missed them other than nearly stumbling over them. They are so important to the structure that's going to be built, this steel and wood shingle canopy. And it is a small structure compared to the building of the church itself. But it's not often, perhaps, that most people get an opportunity of seeing what actually constitutes a foundation. What is that all about? Because by the time you come to look at a building or inhabit a building, the foundation is all covered over. And all you see are the nice things that are above the ground, but you don't see what goes on below the ground. But every architect, every engineer, and every builder will tell you that the most important thing that you see about a building is not what's above ground. It is what is going under the ground. Sometimes those who are involved in the engineering business and the contracting business would perhaps like you to see and have the holes that are exposed now, where you can see those concrete blocks that are full of reinforced steel called rebar, and all you see are a few things sticking out of the top of them right now. Maybe they would like to see them exposed for people to look at. But quite frankly, they're not very pretty. They maybe look a little bit ugly. But I'll tell you, to the designer, to the builder, those things are beautiful because of the value that they have. Proper foundations are necessary for every single structure. My dear friend, if you do not have a good foundation, you are in trouble. And that foundation is in every aspect of your life. That foundation must be in your education. That foundation will be found in the family. A foundation will be seen in your job. This is vital to every building or wall or whatever structure you're going to see put up. If it's going to stand the test of time, if it's going to stand against the wind and the storm that will come, the canopy that will be built out the front has to endure something called wind loading. And that is when a storm comes of heavy wind that's just going to catch nicely under and try to lift up that canopy off its moorings, you had better be sure that the anchor of those footings is well secure. Or else the wind will just take it right out of the ground and it'll be in the field at the back before long. Every foundation is important
Because the structure is going to last, if it's going to last the test of time. Some people, they don't look at the foundation as being nearly so important as it is. And when we talk about physical things, or we talk about academic things, or family matters, that's in one category, and as important as that is, my dear friend, I tell you this morning that there is something that is far more urgent and important than this, and it is the foundation of your soul, of your spiritual life. That is everything. Because if that is not right, it doesn't matter what else you do in life, it doesn't matter what else you attempt to accomplish, it will not succeed in the end. It will fail when it comes to the judgment. And so ask yourself today that question, what am I building on? What is the foundation that I am hoping on for my life and for eternity? Paul said, unless you are building on Jesus Christ, unless you are building on the gospel of His word, His message, and everything that He accomplished, then, my friend, you are in trouble, and you will not succeed in life. I want you to notice with me, first of all, please, by way of contrast, faulty foundations. What faulty foundations do men build upon in their own spirit today? Let me suggest to you that the first one is the foundation of their reason. Man is an intelligent creature, there is no doubt about that. That is the way God has made us. We have a level of intelligence. Some might have more than others. But each of us are self-knowing creatures. That's the way God has made us, and that's why you and I are distinct from the animal world. The animal world does not have intelligence as a human being has. Though I might add, sometimes you call that into question. But nonetheless, when it comes right down to it, that is exactly the way God has made us. We are reasonable creatures. That's a theological term. We are known as reasonable beings, because we are able to reason and to be reasoned with. Friend, don't ever get to the point where you cannot be reasoned with. You become such a blockhead that you're so stubborn and set in your ways that people cannot reason with you. God has made us reasonable individuals. He has given us abilities to plan, to engineer, to build. And one of the primary examples in the book of Genesis would have to be the tower and the city of Babel, the beginnings of Babylon. For all peoples who were unified in their language, they joined to build a tower to reach up to the heavens, and they built a city. And those two things together, the tower and the city, why, that was the religious and the commercial aspects that they were putting together. Why? Because the tower, what were they doing in the tower? They were going to reach up to heaven. Now, I don't know if they actually thought they were going to reach up into the universe. That may have been rather foolish, but perhaps more it was a large structure with maybe an observatory that they could view the stars, the universe, all the galaxies. They were building and building and building because they were engineers. They had the power, the intellect, the reasonable ability. And they set themselves to this, and they were going to have a city that was going to develop in commerce and advance in technology. And the Lord looked down upon them, and He said, nothing will be restrained from them. If God had not gone and confused their language at that time, He saw that they were developing themselves so quickly and so much apart from the living and the true God. For they had no sense or knowledge or desire to worship the living and true God. They were going off making their own God. Man has the power to reason. But I suggest to you that that ability to reason in and of itself is a very faulty foundation to build on. They build, that is, men do, gods of their own making. But you know, quite humorously, in one sense, Isaiah mentions about these gods that are made by man, and they have eyes, but they do not see. And they have ears, but they do not hear. They have lips, but they don't speak. They have feet, but they don't walk. So these are gods of their own making. This is the result of the reasonableness of a man left to himself in his own sin, separated from God. Where will it lead him at the end? Where will the reasonableness of within a human being lead him apart from God? I will tell you where it will lead you. And there is a very poignant example of a 19th century philosopher by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. And he was a German philosopher and writer. And it was said of this man that he affected generations of theologians, psychologists, philosophers, poets, and writers. Maybe you can remember him from this statement. He said, "God is dead." That's a statement he's remembered for. It will be interesting to note that in January of 1898, he lost control of his mental faculties. He spent the next 11 years of his life in total mental darkness. This is the end of a man who makes God his reason and a reason out of his God. This is the end of someone who is rejecting all revelation that has come to us from the Lord's Word and from creation itself. My friend, be careful and beware. You think you're smart today. You think you have the power of reason today. I say to you, be careful you bring that reason to the source of where it came from and where God, who is the giver of all things, who gives us the ability. Jesus makes this so clear in the parable that he spoke about the two men who built their homes. One was wise and one was foolish. The wise man was called so because he built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man because he built his house upon the sand. And he said, the winds blew and the floods came and the waters raised up. But he said, the man that built his house upon the rock was the wise man because his house stood against the storm. But when the storm of judgment came against the foolish man who built his house upon what? His own reason, his own thinking, his own ability, his house was washed away and it collapsed in the judgment. And that's what will happen to every single person who tries to build upon that foundation of his own reason. But it's not a far step, because the next one is the step of religion. Okay, so a guy like Nietzsche, he rejects all religion as being just part of cultural and some historical remnant of a former life and so on. So he would reject religion completely, and little did he know it, but he made a religion out of his reasoning ability and his intellect. But let's look at a whole different category of folks who depend upon religion to be the answer to their soul's need and to the foundation they're going to build on. And my, the whole world is filled with religion. And if we want to start identifying whether it's a religion of Islam that they build upon belief in good works, or you look at Hinduism that looks upon the multiplicity of gods that they depend on, What about the religion of Roman Catholicism? Built in, they say, in one sense upon God's Word, but is built more on the history of church fathers and of the writings of the doctrines and creeds of the church itself and of the additions that they bring to the Scripture. And my dear friend, it's built upon their observance of good works. Do I keep the Word of God by my own ability? Do I do and do and do and do in order to please God? And so they are building for their foundation upon their religious works. But you see, that can never warrant or merit anything before God. The reason simply is because our good works are tainted by our sinfulness. Everything you and I touch is contaminated by our sin nature. And so if I, from my own inner righteousness, try to lift up something to God and say, "Here, Lord, take this as a means of justifying my sinful soul by my good works," it's contaminated, it's rejected completely, because there is no righteousness at all in those good works. They become actually quite filthy works. They become very abominable in the eyes of God, because there's no warrant that we have to give that to the Lord. My dear friend, what are you building on today? Is it your own reason? It's not a good foundation. Is it religion in some way? What about when we think about that within Protestant circles? And could we narrow it down and bring it right into this congregation this morning? Could it be that there is someone here and you are under the false conception that by attending this church or having come here for a period of time, that there is some credit that you're going to receive before God? Instead, friend, of allowing the Spirit of God to bring His conviction through His Word to your own heart, and until you repent of your sin and call out unto the Lord, there is no hope, because you're only resting in religion, as some Muslim person is doing, or some darkened Roman Catholic person. Oh, dear friend, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ would shine into your heart and life, and that you would taste and see and know that the Lord is good. That you would realize that the only foundation I can have is not in myself, it's not in my church attendance. But other people, they say, "Well, forget reason, forget religion. I'm just going to have reliance on myself. I declare myself an agnostic." You might not even be so foolish as to call yourself an atheist, to say, "I know there is no God," but you'll say, "Okay, I'm an agnostic. I just don't know if there is or there isn't a God." You say, "Well, I'm just going to rely on myself, my own experience, my own way through life of learning hard knocks and getting through." And you rely on yourself. You look at others and you assure yourself that you're not as bad as they are. You're certainly as good as anybody else. And look, if someone at the end of the day is going to get to a long reward, it's going to be me, because I'm relying on myself and I'm as good as the next guy. And I have every reason to believe in my good citizenship. I have every reason to believe that I'm as honest as the next guy. I might steal a little bit. You might deceive at the border a little bit. You might cheat a little bit on your tax if you can get away with it. But if you can't get away with it, if you know you're going to get caught, you don't do it. So there's a level of morality. You might be nice to your neighbor next door. You might even cut his grass for him. But my friend, reliance on yourself is a bad foundation, because you are a wounded individual. You are a sinful person at the very heart of it. And though you might not acknowledge or admit your own sinfulness, to try and build your life on that foundation, when you don't recognize the enormity of the crimes that you have committed against a holy God, He looks down upon you and He sees you as being unclean. Well, where is your self-reliance going to lead you in that day? My friend, it's a bad foundation, because Jesus Christ is the only foundation that you can have to build on for time and for eternity. Jesus didn't come into this world to call the righteous people. He didn't come to call those who were relying on themselves and say, I have no need of God because I have myself. Jesus said he came to call sinners to repentance. And it's when you have come by the grace of God, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit in your own heart to see, I have sinned against the Lord. It is me who has broken His law. And oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. My dear friend, when you come to that point, by God's grace, you will see He is your living and only Redeemer. One more foundation before we move on, and that's the foundation of riches. Wow. If that doesn't affect people today, there are some folks that have, as we jokingly say, more money than they know what to do with. They are richer than they can even count up. They probably lost counting. They just don't have any need to count anymore because they feel they'll never come to the end of their wealth. And they depend on how they have received that wealth. They depend on the fact that it's by their own good mental acumen in their business sense and maybe a whole lot of other reasons why they have got that wealth. And so they are content in that, maybe a bit proud in it. And they bolster themselves up with the fact that I have need of nothing. If I need anything, I can just buy it. I can buy anything I want. And they have their riches. The Lord Jesus spoke about a certain man who believed that way. And after he had great harvest, great increase, he had nowhere to put all his stuff. And so he tore down his building, built bigger ones, and said, look, I've got to store my stuff. And when he had built it and stored everything he had, he said, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry, for you have much goods laid up for many years. You're good to go. And that very night, God came to the man and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall all these things be? When you are in hell because of your rejection of God and your hope placed upon a foundation of riches and wealth that cannot prosper you, where will your soul be then? All of these, my dear friends, are other foundations. And they will fail because they are insufficient to meet the standard that God has made. They're insufficient to meet the storm of judgment that He is going to bring. Please, let's move on secondly, and let me show you from this text very clearly and plainly the only foundation. We looked on false foundations. Now we're thinking about the only foundation. There is only one that's true. There is only one that is sure, that you can build on for eternity. And my dear friend, it is Christ Jesus and Him alone. If He is removed from Christianity, the whole thing collapses and it's finished. It's nothing but a dead and vain religion. But I say this to you, if Jesus Christ is diminished in your faith, then your foundation becomes weak. And your life becomes vacillating and weak. I say this to you that the Lord Jesus is the only foundation because He was designed by the architect of all things. God in heaven, God who created the earth out of nothing, the Lord who determined where the stars would be placed and where the galaxies would exist, where He would place this earth in His great creation. The God who has designed all this, the great architect, has, my dear friend, from before the foundation of the world, determined and planned that Jesus Christ would be our Redeemer and our Savior. He would be the one who would come to this world to die for sinful men and women. He determined and planned that Christ Jesus would be the only foundation, the great designer, the great God of all grace, who designed for the salvation of your eternal soul. He designed, my friend, that Jesus would be your Savior. The innocent must die for the guilty. The one who had not committed any crime, the one who had broken no law, the one who in himself kept the law of God perfectly and who was in perfect harmony and communion and fellowship with his heavenly Father, who did nothing amiss, who no sin could be put to, this is the one whom the Father designed and planned would be our Savior. He must have both the engineering and the building skill to make such a foundation. We are told in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And those two terms have to do with building. He is the architect and He is the builder. And we study this as we look through Hebrews. And my dear friend, don't miss out and forget that point. He is the one who is authorized by God in heaven to be the only foundation for your soul. When John the Baptist came and preached, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." And what was he saying but that you are to look by faith to the divinely established foundation for your soul. And the Apostle Peter said in Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He is the only foundation, the only Savior of your soul. My friend, He is authorized by heaven. But not only is He authorized by heaven, He is strong to hold the weight of the building. A foundation must be set according to the structure that's going to be overhead. And so the structure of the building of the church of Jesus Christ, made up of all His saved, born-again people, He Himself is strong enough, the solid material of our great Redeemer. And through His death on the cross, He laid such a foundation. He is said to be the cornerstone of the building of His own church. And everything that He has done, every word that He has written, spoken of, all of these things compiled together to make that great foundation that is the church, is for the church of His own blood-bought people. It will stand the judgment. And if you are built upon Him, my friend, today, then you are the wise man whose house is built upon the rock. And when the wind comes and the storm, your house will stand, not by your strength, but only by His. Because today we rest on Him, and He is authorized by God, and He is strong to hold the weight. But my dear friend, once you have come to faith in Christ, I say this to you with all sincerity, that Jesus Christ is strong enough for you to build your Christian life and witness upon Him. Because if He is strong enough to save you, certainly He is strong enough for you to depend on in how your life will go and where He will lead you and what He will enable you to do. We've read from 1 Corinthians 3 today, and quite frankly, it's a hard chapter to read in a church because, well, the implication was that as Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, they were not doing very well spiritually. Instead of being mature spiritual believers, they were very infantile, they were very weak. And so, he's encouraging them to grow up spiritually. That's really what he's saying. He wants them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God's will. And that's God's design for you and me today, every one of us. He wants us to grow up in our faith. Are you, though, more infantile? Are you more like a child, a baby? Do you still have to be fed with a bottle and the milk? He said, those who take meat are strong, but those who take milk are babies. And we don't despise those who are small in a human sense. We love the little ones. We love to see them taking the milk and growing and developing. But certainly when the child gets to be 14, 15 years of age, they're not still taking from a bottle. They've developed in their appetite. And they're taking things that will strengthen them. And so you and I, spiritually, we need to progress from being bottle-fed to be into the Word ourselves, to be maturing spiritually, to understand and know the mind of God from His Word, and to take the mind of Christ and say, Lord, teach me from Your Scripture how that I can grow up in my faith and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. Yes, they were immature in their faith. Yes, they lacked spiritual understanding and discernment. Their thinking had not developed from the influence of the worldly philosophy that they'd grown up in. And again, sometimes people can think they're wise in those things. And maybe they have a lot of knowledge in those things. But that doesn't make you wise with God. Nor does it make us developed in our spiritual walk. The Corinthians were still tainted with envying, strife, and divisions. Envying, strife, and divisions. I guess if we apply that to our own hearts and we see those things that are still gaining the victory in our own Christian lives, we better take a deep look. Because the Holy Spirit is saying to us, you're not growing up very much in the faith if these things are still having the mastery over you. If we are still succumbing to these elementary things that the Lord in essence is saying, look, when you grow up spiritually, envying and strife and divisions, they're past now. That was when you were little, but now you're growing up and these things don't have the victory over you. Well, may God help us. In Corinth, they were siding with personalities. One of them said, well, Apollos is my hero. I'm going to back him. I'm going to fly his flag. Another guy said, well, Paul, he's the greater guy. I'm going to follow him. And Paul said, what are you doing? He says, if you are thinking about your Christian life and serving God in this way and party politics and that kind of thing, that's not a wise way to go about it. He said, because men are nothing. We're only instruments used by God. Yes, one plants and another puts water on that was planted. But who gives the increase? It is God that causes a thing to grow. And so let's all see ourselves as who we are and where we are in God's great plan. And say, Lord, please take me and use me and help me to see who I am and where I am in the great scheme of things in the work of Christ. That we all might labor together for the honor of the King, for the honor of the Master. My dear friend, what are you doing in your service for Christ? How are you serving and living for Him? These are very, very important things. Our Lord Jesus is a strong foundation to uphold us and secure us in every time of need. And as a believer, I am so thankful for that, and I tell you, I need to meditate more on it. Because the more that I think I am strong in myself and I can handle this, that's the time when we are most vulnerable to falling over because the devil says, I've got you on that point. No, friend, we're not strong in ourselves. But the Apostle Paul said it well, when I am weak in myself, then am I strong. Christ is strong to uphold us. The Lord Jesus is strong to defend us against Satan. Why, we've been thinking about that a little bit recently. Last Lord's Day evening, I reminded you of what I shared with the campers a week or two before that, that Satan goes about as a roaring lion, our adversary, seeking whom he may devour. And you and I are the target of the devil every day. But I'll tell you, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the Lord Jesus is strong to defend us against the attack of the devil. He is our strong foundation. And my dear friend, he is strong to keep you clean in this unclean world. How can a Christian walk clean in a wicked world? When everything around us is polluted, how can this be done? My dear friend, it can be done by the power of Christ that abides in you. That's how you can do this. And it's not going to be by yourself. It's by acknowledging, I am helpless. My total dependence must be upon Him. And when it is, and I'm resting secure in Him, I will trust the Lord to keep me clean and pure. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have any responsibility as a Christian. It doesn't mean that you can just go and indulge in sin and say, oh, well, if the Lord wants to keep me clean, He'll keep me from this sin. That's not a true way of thinking about it. That's not reasonable. The reasonableness is that God empowers us with the desire He's put within our heart to honor Him. I want to walk on that foundation. I want to rest secure in that foundation because I know the Lord is able to keep me clean. The Lord has said if we hide His Word in our hearts, He will keep us pure. So by way of conclusion, let me ask you this question. Have you the Lord as your foundation of your soul? And you might ask me, well, how do I do that? The first thing, my friend, is that you come to Him with your sin and you repent of your sin. And then you rest your whole weight upon Him. You say, Lord, take me just as I am and save me by Your grace. Have mercy upon me. And then by His grace, you will see your life reconstructed. For He will dismantle you and then begin to put you back together again. And you will be as a model made after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you repent and you rest your weight by faith upon Him. You reconstruct your life by the grace of God. And then, my dear friend, you rejoice. You rejoice with joy that is unspeakable because your soul is happy inside and you know it's well with you. And you have the Lord Jesus as your own. Because you can say, now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Jesus belongs to you, friend. Oh, is that your hope today? Believer, have you determined to say, I'm going on with God no matter what comes? I want to live for Him no matter what comes. But, oh God, I have no strength in me to do that of myself. Help me, Lord. And if you pray that prayer, my dear friend, the Lord will come to your aid. He will strengthen you with His own Spirit inside your own heart. He will enable you to live for Him. And you will know it's not of yourself, but it's all of His grace and His power. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, today we are overwhelmed by this word that is written for our learning. And yes, Lord, we can understand it on the surface to some degree, but I pray it will penetrate our hearts. I pray its truth would resonate with us with power, that we would mix Thy word with faith, that we will grow. Lord, help us. Make us less like our ugly self and more like our beautiful Savior. So, Lord, part us now in thy fear. With thy rich blessing, bring us back again to thy house tonight, looking for and expecting thy rich blessing. Be with everyone viewing our service online today. Encourage them in their own heart as well. Any who are still without Christ, save them, Lord, we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen.